I read for Deaton, who plays the animal vet. And what I always tell people is that they hire essence, and that the writer, the creator, hires the essence of the character, and you can't out-act that person. Seth Gilliam, when he went in and did his role, it was just, that's Deaton. There's no way around
it. When you say essence, in other words, the producers are either looking at tape or sitting in a room and going, that just feels like the guy. Like, that's what the woman. Yeah.
The guy or the girl, the character, they just walk in and you know it even before they start talking. Yeah. And another example, on Yellowstone, I read for Jamie Dutton, played by Wes Bentley.
Mm-hmm.
Several different audition tapes. And of course, looking back, no one could play that character but Wes. He is Jamie Dutton. Mm. And no matter how good my choices were, my tape was, I was never going to get hired, ultimately, because Wes is Jamie. So thankfully, in both instances, they asked me to read for other roles. And of course, you accept. And then they come up with something that matches you, or they make a new character, or they move things around. And by the grace of God, you are part of it. And then you've got a foothold, and then you can climb up. And that's what happened with both of these shows. So you just, again, you got attrition, just can't quit. You can't get down on it.
Hey, folks, that is Ian Bowen. You know him as Ryan from Yellowstone and Peter Hale in the Teen Wolf MTV series, and now Teen Wolf, the movie that's out. And I got to tell you, one of the things I love about doing this show is I get to meet and talk to people that I don't really know that well, and his work I kind of know. And what a great guy, down-to-earth guy, an actor's actor. He's been in Mad Men. He's been on some of the biggest shows in television. And there he's talking about how you get roles, and that, you know, it's about the coming in being the essence of the character. And he talks about how he ended up playing Peter Hale on Teen Wolf when he was going up for another part on that show. And the same thing with Yellowstone. It's a really cool conversation with somebody, not just about the glitz and glamour of show business, but just how, you know, the process works, how an actor works, how an actor gets work. I think you're really going to like it. Before we get to that, speaking of show business and movies and shows, it seems everybody's got an opinion about a show. And it used to be about, you know, the critics. What do the critics have to say about this movie or this TV show? Now it's all about Rotten Tomatoes, right? And which is really what all of us think of something, right? And if something has a high Rotten Tomatoes score, then it's quote unquote good, I guess, which is strange to me. Because we were talking about this last night. We were watching a movie and somebody said, well, I don't know if I want to watch that movie because it's got doesn't have a great score on Rotten Tomatoes. Who cares? Who cares what the guy at the gas station thinks about a movie? I actually think there should be experts. Like, critics should weigh in and people should pay attention. Like, you want experts to weigh in on what they're expert at, okay? I don't want the guy at the gas station, nothing against him being at the gas station, giving me his opinion about something that he really knows nothing about just because he's got an opinion about it. That's like me going to him, hey, Joe, I know you work behind the register at the gas station, but could you tell me a great opera to go to, the best Bordeaux? I mean, it's you know, like, rely on experts, okay? I don't go to an HVAC guy and ask him to put brakes in my car. Like, I'm just because their opinions out there and they're everywhere now doesn't mean that they're good and that they're helpful. Okay. I don't know if this is, I feel better saying it. I don't know if this is helping you. Anyway, keep following me on social media. I got more tour dates coming up soon. So you can see me doing stand up. I've been posting a whole bunch of really cool stuff on social media, my Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, and whatever new social media platform exists, I'm on it already, even if I don't know I'm on it. YouTube. So we've been making some really fun videos. Check that out. And I have a commentary about a couple of things that have been going on in the news. So check that out. And enjoy Ian Bowen, everybody.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. I guess this week, Ian Bowen, you know him from his role as Ryan in Paramount's Yellowstone. You know him from Mad Men on AMC, the Oscar-nominated film Wyatt Earp, and can now be seen. Everybody's very excited about this, reprising his role as Peter Hale in Teen Wolf, the movie. It's going to be out on Paramount+. It's great to have you on the show, Ian.
Hey, Paul, thank you so much for the support. I appreciate your listeners. We really want to get the word out about Yellowstone and its success, and also encourage people to check out Teen Wolf, the movie on Paramount Plus. It's coming out January 26th. If you don't know about that, it picks up where the series left off about 5 years ago. So we're very excited that these projects are in the mix, and I'm really happy to talk about them with you.
Yeah, I want to talk about both of these things. In terms of Teen Wolf, it's a movie versus a TV series. How is that different? And how is it different for you sort of coming back to it 5 years later? Because you're a different person then, and, you know, actors sort of, you know, kind of put a little bit of their own character in their roles, as we know. So, you know, what's that been like?
Well, you know, you do a series, and every series is finite, as is every franchise. And after 100 episodes, it completed the story. And we've had about 5 years to let that rest. And we found that the demand for the characters and where they are now and what they're doing, is that appetite is quite high. So it was decided to, instead of revive the series, because it's just too hard to get everyone to commit to that kind of thing, was to make a film. And so a certain amount of time has passed. People are doing different things. All the characters have been scattered into the world and whatnot. And of course, they're brought back together by something important, and they need to move forward and battle the evil. So you just, it's a little bit easier for me. My character is sort of pseudo immortal. You know, he's anywhere from 100 to 300 years old. So he doesn't change so much as opposed to the younger kids who are, you know, they're getting to be middle-aged, and some of them have kids now. So it's an exciting new thing to get into the new words and to watch the new world and pick up where you left off, but just quite a bit later.
Yeah. 100 to 300 years old. There must be some days when you feel that in your back or your knees, right? You know, you get
well, when you're aware, you know, you just pop a couple of Advil and have a bourbon and you're right back to good.
Yeah, nothing like hanging out with a werewolf who's drunk on bourbon. That's got to be a fun Friday night. It's like, let's party, man, and then I'm going to bite your neck.
Exactly.
It's got to be fun, too. You know, like in the series, your character was killed off in season one, and it's resurrected and killed. Was that weird to get your head around as an actor? I mean, you know, you've been acting at that point a long time, and, you know, characters get killed off. They get killed off.
In season one, I was not aware that Peter was going to get killed until I read it. And that was really a shot in the gut, because you feel like you're part of a franchise that's going to have some legs and go on for a while. You have a family. It's like getting kicked out of your fraternity or something when you just made friends with everybody. So that was really rough. And it wasn't until later that summer, after we finished shooting, we're going to do some pickups, they call them, that the boss called and said, "Hey, how would you feel about coming back?" And of course, that was a day that changed my life forever. And I was doing backflips inside my body, trying to remain calm and cool. But I knew I had an opportunity, and I didn't want to squander it. So it's very, very difficult when you get killed off a show. It takes your soul, because you spent so long trying to get there, and it can happen at any time. On Yellowstone, you know, I don't know that the whole cast is going to make it through season five. We haven't had a major fatality, and I don't know this, but I feel like it's brimming at some point. There's going to be a more tragedy.
Well, I had Kevin Costner on the podcast, no joke, talking about Yellowstone, and he said, "You're going to get killed off." I just thought I'd tell you now. I don't want you to get hurt. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. He didn't say that.
Email and give me a little bit of heads up. I would appreciate him for that.
Yeah. Now, when you auditioned for Teen Wolf, you auditioned for a different role, but then were cast as Peter. Like, did you ever find out? Because that's another thing as actors, you audition for one thing and you get the other thing, and sometimes they tell you and sometimes they don't. Did you ever find out what that was about?
I read for Deaton, who plays the animal vet. And what I always tell people is that they hire essence. And that the writer, the creator, hires the essence of the character, and you can't out-act that person. Seth Gilliam, when he went in and did his role, it was just, that's Deaton. There's no way around it.
It's when you say essence, in other words, the producers are either looking at tape or sitting in a room and going, that just feels like the guy. Like that's guy, what they, or the woman.
Guy. Yeah. The guy or the girl, the character, they just walk in and you know it even before they start talking. And I, another example, on Yellowstone, I read for Jamie Dutton, played by Wes Bentley, several different audition tapes. And of course, looking back, no one could play that character but Wes. That he is Jamie Dutton. And no matter how good my choices were, my take was, I was never going to get hired ultimately because Wes is just is Jamie. So thankfully, in both instances, they asked me to read for other roles. And of course, you accept. And then they come up with something that matches you or they make a new character or they move things around. And by the grace of God, you are part of it. And then you're, you've got a foothold and then you can climb up. And that's what happened with both of these shows. So you just, again, you got it's attrition, just can't quit. You can't get down on it.
Yeah. Well, you did something right in the initial audition. Cause once they start asking you to read for other things, it's like they want that. Now they're looking for a reason to hire you because as you know, and people who aren't, don't do this for a living, like, they've got so much work to do in casting these movies and these series. They want to find the person and move on. They don't want to have to go through 30 actors to find that person for the role. So they're like, it's like, you know, you're onto something and you must have done something in those auditions that said, okay, it may not be this. He's may not be right for this guy, but he's right for the show.
Right. You're on the headshot board. Your picture's kind of over to the side and they're just looking for somewhere to put it, but at least you're on board.
Right. Which is a better board to be on than like an FBI mafia board where you do not want your headshot as part of the mafia family thing.
The most wanted, that means the federal authorities at all costs.
Right. So what did you learn? I'm sure you don't audition anymore, but what did you learn in your process as IACT also? And, you know, you're always working on your craft, but like, what did you, was there an epiphany moment? Was there a sort of a like, when you started to kind of get it in the audition process and maybe not necessarily get the exact role you want, but like you kicked it into another gear and you started to know that you were getting it or nailing it or, you know, getting close.
I think that for me was when I realized how important the writer is and that you must service the words of the script and that it's not about you. It's about story and how can you add to it instead of thinking, well, how do I feel and what does my character need and making it about yourself? If you can give that up and be part of your thing, then you start listening better and it just starts to come through in a way when you give yourself up. And if you're too arrogant to not realize that you have to serve the story, you are going to feel like you nailed an audition and it's just going to be flat or weird because you're not being part of the bigger thing. And unselfish actors will do that and then they'll get nominated for big awards. Not that nominations count, but it starts to snowball upward when you give yourself away and be part of the thing. And then it started to become fun and I knew it. I knew what the scene was about. I get what they want. This is easy and fun. Shouldn't be work.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, my acting coach, this guy named Bob Krakauer here in New York is amazing. And that's his number one thing. What story are you telling? We're telling a story of moving pictures and you're part of that. And as long as you remember that, you're not making it about yourself. It's exactly what he says all the time and reminds us. Yellowstone has been such a phenomenon. And there's so many things there that you're in season five. You had said in working with Taylor Sheridan, who created Yellowstone, this is a quote of yours, in this business, commonly people say it's who you know, and it's a bit wrong. It's actually who knows you. I was fascinated by that. What do you mean by that?
I'll be darned that you heard that. I did say that. When it comes down to creators populating their visions, they look through their memory banks and they think, who do I know? Who do I trust? Who do I believe in? Whose work have I seen? And it really boils down quite quickly to a group that they can select from. I can say, you know, all the people that I've met or someone that might shake my hand and believe, oh yeah, I met you once. Like, you know me. But it's the reverse. They have to know you. And for that, you have to have spent time, presented some sort of work that they can appreciate, and you've gotten to a level of belief where they can trust you, that you're going to not be an a-hole on set. You're going to be able to fulfill stuff. And it's not always about being the best actor. That's part of it, but it's not a meritocracy. It's a whole rhythm. And that's who people, that's why Taylor is so loyal to his performers. He keeps putting them in new things because he knows them. That's what's the most important thing. And so that's what that quote means to me.
Well, I'm a big sports fan. I never thought of it this way, but it's almost, you know, you hear that same kind of thing said about chemistry on a team, baseball, football, basketball, whatever it is, and how important that is. And it sounds very similar, and it makes a lot of sense. I mean, I worked on The Daily Show, The Colbert Report, and I work on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. And so Stephen and I in particular go back to The Daily Show together, but there's a comfort level where, you know, we, with the group that have been together a long time, you can almost, in terms of the comedy and what you want to say with it, you almost can finish each other's sentences because you're in the same headspace, you know, because you kind of grew up together in that, you know?
Yeah. And it's why a team, you know, it's why the Padres could beat the Dodgers this year in the playoffs.
Exactly.
And it's yeah. why the Lakers are imploding. And it's why the Giants won three World Series in 10 years with guys that you didn't know who they were. Because it worked, and it's exactly the same thing. And you, if you build that wrong, you can spend $200 million on a movie that no one goes to see. It's that people don't want to try to get it right. They want to throw money at it, and it's hard. It's hard work, and nobody wants to do real hard work anymore. They want to skirt it.
Exactly. So now you were a ranch hand on your grandfather's ranch as a kid, and I'm wondering, going back to what we were talking about a few minutes ago about sort of just walking in the room and feeling like this is the guy, the ranch hand part of your role as Ryan is probably came second nature to you, I'm sure. Like, did that help you in, obviously, in playing the role or in getting the role or sort of understanding it?
Yes, definitely. We talk about this a lot. Operating, for lack of a better word, a horse on a mark. And delivering your lines with other interactions.
Yes, I was going to ask you that. Like, how do you guys do that? That's so amazing to me.
Like, and if you can ride and you can act, I would say 1% of Hollywood could do this role. And we've washed out a few people from the bunkhouse. It's just hard. It's hard to ride and say your words at the same time, let alone throw a rope. And if something goes weird, or if your horse is one half step off, you know, his mark, they can't see you. We got to do it again. So you have to be able to like micro move and thruster. And it's a tricky job, and it's cold and it's dirty and it's wet and it's dark. It's really not for everybody. So everyone in the bunkhouse is an absolute all-star, and people that think that they want to be in it, most of them, I'd say 95% of them, you really don't want to do this job because it's just too hard and it's rough. So having the background for me made it a lot easier. I could just watch everything else and again try to feel like what part of the story am I telling, and be able to do things that weren't on the script physically that I knew the creators would like, because it looks cool if the actor's really doing it. You know, they can cut stunt doubles, but it's not as much fun. So roping and just doing other stuff, it's just that much better. And part of the, you know, Taylor did know my history there. So he, again, that's part of the, I can trust this guy that whatever I write, that he'll be able to do it. That's a big deal for me, where the person, they have to train you, and they do train you. But sometimes that is very difficult and it takes a really long time. And sometimes it detracts from the scene because they just ultimately give up and said, this person can't get the horse to do what we need it to do. And so I'm very, very lucky that I had the background that I did. It's all kind of coming together.
Yeah. Is the season sort of, what more can you tell us? I know it's 2 parts, 7 episodes each. Why is it in 2 parts? And if, without giving too much away, tell me how you feel about season 5, where it's going and all of that.
Really, it's a timing issue to bifurcate the season. Mm-hmm. Once it starts snowing in Montana, we can't shoot anymore because it doesn't match our time sequence in the world.
Oh, yeah.
So we need to take the break until spring. And instead, they, and also it's so popular, they just want more episodes. So they say, well, let's wait till spring, do another 8 episodes. For this 8, we've got 3 more to air starting Sunday with number 6, so 6, 7, and 8. What you're going to see is, if you look back at the season, is a series of separation and distance between what we know, and that's going to continue to grow and open up holes in everything. Mm-hmm. And when you have a lot of holes, other things like to fill them. And there's going to be some danger that comes with that. But that distance is going to be a major theme moving forward. And I'm not sure how we're going to deal with that in 5B, but it is coming.
Well, you've had such amazing roles and worked on such amazing shows. I'm really happy for your success. You're a great guy. And we got to talk more. We got to talk more about acting and the process, because I'm a process geek and all that good stuff. So got to get you back on. But best of luck with Teen Wolf, the movie. Best of luck with Yellowstone and everything else you got coming down the road. It's Ian Bone, and it's really great to have you on.
Thank you so much, Paul. I appreciate your time.
There you go. That's Ian Bone. What a great guy. Great conversation. I really loved having him on. Please follow me on my social media platforms. Tell everybody about the podcast and let them know we got some really great guests coming up. And we will see you next week, folks.